Good morning, everyone. We're reading in Book 7, the Book of Yoga, Canto 4, the Triple Soul Forces. And we are reading about the second of the three soul forces, the Madonna of Might. I'm not sure where we stopped.
Page 512, ne? And then on magic, and so it comes. So we say
346.
Line 346, near the bottom. So this is not the Madonna speaking. This is the voice of the ego of this great world of desire. He is echoing her wonderful statement of her mission. He's showing the distorted, perverted response from the lower levels of nature. Norman, would you begin?
Sorry, I didn't quite get the number.
345.
346, no magic.
Sorry, which page?
Page 512, near the bottom.
No magic can surpass my magic skill. There is no miracle I shall not achieve. What God imperfect left, I will complete. Out of a tangled mind and half-made soul, his sin and error I will eliminate. What he invented not, I shall invent. He was the first creator, I am the last. I have found the atoms from which he built the world. The first tremendous cosmic energy. The first tremendous cosmic energy commissioned shall leap to slay my enemy kin, expunge a nation, or abolish a race. Death's silence leave where there was laughter and joy. For the fissured, invisible shall spend God's force to extend my comfort and expand my wealth, to speed my car, which now the lightnings drive, and turn the engines of my miracles.
Thank you. Or perhaps you read the next two lines, Norman, sorry.
I will take his means of sorcery from his hands, and do with them greater wonders than his betters.
Yes.
Sharma, could you say whose voice is this?
This is the voice of the ego of this great world of desire. And Mother and Huta have pictured him like the modern man, technological man, with all the marvels that he's created, not realizing that despite all the achievements of science and technology, he is still chained. He's chained to all his devices and all his, everything he's made. He's not free at all. So this is the arrogant mind of modern man, which says, I can do anything. Which in a sense, of course, is true, but not. It shouldn't be in this rajasic, egoistic way. So he says, I found the atoms from which God built the worlds, so I shall be using that first tremendous cosmic energy. I shall use it to slay my enemy, kin. He recognizes that all human race is kin, but still he's going to use that cosmic energy to slay those he considers his enemies, to expunge a nation, to completely destroy it, to abolish a race. I shall leave death's silence where there was laughter and joy. And then Shobindo refers to fission energy, the fissured invisible. Yeah, that's what we use now, is fissured. Mother thought that fusion would be a better thing to go for. But anyway, the fissured invisible, these invisible forces, will be spending the divine force to extend my comforts, expand my wealth, to speed my car, which now the lightnings drive. It sounds as if Sri Aurobindo was expecting electrical vehicles in the very near future, and turn the engines of my miracles. So I'm going to take all the powers of God, and I will do even better things than he has done. Do greater wonders than his best. You want to read, Don?
Yes, I'll continue the horror. Yet, through it all, I have kept my balanced thought. I have studied my being. I have examined the world. I have grown a master of the arts of life. I have tamed the wild beast, trained to be my friend. He guards my house, looks up, waiting my will. I have taught my kind to serve and to obey. I have used the mystery of the cosmic waves to see far distance and to hear far words. I have conquered space and knitted close all earth. Soon I shall know the secrets of the mind. I play with knowledge and with ignorance, and sin and virtue my inventions are. I can transcend or sovereignly use. I can transcend or sovereignly use. I shall know mystic truths, seize occult powers. I shall slay my enemies with a look or thought. I shall sense the unspeaking feelings of all hearts and see and hear the hidden thoughts of men. When earth is mastered, I shall conquer heaven. The gods shall be my aids or mental or menial folk. No wish I harbor unfulfilled shall die. omnipotence and omniscience shall be mine.
Hmm. Thank you. But there's always a certain truth in it, no? In what he says. Yeah?
That truth is the heart of me. I mean, it's the way I have thought about it.
But it's clear. Everybody's clear about what he's saying? Yeah? We were reading this last week in The Life Divine about occultism, and Sri Aurobindo said that it is the power of using mind force and life force, and that it will become a part of the human capacity. Mm-hmm. But we hope that it doesn't become part of the human capacity too soon, before we have overcome this dangerous ego of this world of desire.
I think also part of surrender, aspect of surrender is missing, yeah, to something higher.
Yes, that's the characteristic of the ego. It says, I.
No surrender.
I will do it. I can do better than God. Yeah.
I have written down here SIDDIS.
Siddhis.
Yeah, what is that? Sees occult powers. And is that?
What is that again? Yes.
The word is siddhi. It means an achievement in yoga or in occultism. So it can be applied to this capacity to use the mind power, the life power, the spirit power to achieve certain things that are wished for. I'm not sure why you have written it down there.
Well, you probably said
it's something about it. Maybe in the class we discussed about it, particularly in connection with occultism. No? Yeah. Hmm?
Soon I shall know the secrets of the mind.
Yes, this is occultism in a way. I mean, at the moment we have psychology, we know a certain amount. He says, I have studied my being. We do know a certain amount. Sri Aurobindo shows us that there's much, much more to our psychology. And
does occultism our ego?
It doesn't need to trigger our ego. Our ego is driving us most of now. No? Until we've become truly spiritualized beings, when our soul and our spirit are driving us, then we are driven by ego. But in what we were reading in The Life Divine, Sri Aurobindo was saying that occultism has been one of the approaches towards spiritual evolution. And elsewhere in this book, he shows us that Asvapati, on his quest, when he has become spiritually pure, automatically he achieves mastery over the powers of mind and life and spirit. This, the gifts that we need to have are given to us when we are ready to have them. But we said on Wednesday that the mother kept a collection of books about occultism, but the cupboard was kept locked. Nobody was allowed to take any of those books out unless she had given personal permission. Because it can be very, very dangerous if it's used in this way. You can see here, Sri Aurobindo, already man has control of powers that he's unable to use wisely. No? We can see that in our world. So these much, much greater powers of controlling mind and life force would be so much more dangerous if they were not used correctly.
And one old Aurovillian coming in 1968, and he living in ashram at this moment, and in library, and he tell mother, please give me the key. I want to read occultism. Mother tell, read Savitri. Not at all, read Savitri.
No, Savitri is of course full of occult truths. And when she was working with Hutta on these paintings, she taught Hutta, incidentally, a lot of occultism, but in her own way. Occult knowledge, at least. Because otherwise, this titanic, egoistic being of desire will say, no wish I harbor unfulfilled shall die. I will do whatever I want. Omnipotence and omniscience shall be mine.
In other words, ignorance doesn't exist.
Are there more chairs there?
Yes.
You can put them up. But when the next step in evolution has taken place, and more conscious beings, spiritual beings, are the dominant race on Earth, then perhaps some enlightened use of these subtle powers will become normal and natural. We are on page 513.
Thank you.
So you'll read on, Sergei, from the bottom of the page, line 385.
And Savitri felt the words. They were deep of her and turned into her being of power. She spoke. Madonna of night, mother of birth and force, thou art a portion of my soul to help mankind and help the travel of time. Because thou art in him my hopes and dreams. Because thou art my soul can climb the heavens and walk like yours in the presence of the Supreme. But without wisdom, power is like a wind. It can breathe upon the heights and kiss the sky. It cannot build the extreme eternal things. Thou hast given man strength, wisdom, thou couldst not give. One day I will return a brink of light. Then I will give to thee the mirror of love. Thou shalt see self and God, as by him they are seen, reflected in the bright pool of thy soul. Thy wisdom shall be vast thy power. And hate shall dwell no more in human hearts, and fear and weakness shall desert man's lives. Thy cry of the eagle shall be hushed within. Its lion roar that claims the world as food. All shall be mine, and bliss, and happy thoughts.
Thank you. So just as there are three Madonnas and three warped echoes, Savitri replies three times. This is the second of her answers. And each time she answers in a similar way. Each of those Madonnas has told her, Savitri, I am thy secret soul. But she answers, you are a portion of my soul, put forth, in this case, to help mankind and help the travail of time. You have a specific mission to do. You are a portion, a power of my soul, and you have a particular work to do. It's very important because you are in human beings. Men have this dynamism and this might. They hope and they dare. They make efforts. Because you exist, men's souls can climb the heavens. This great spiritual dynamism that Asvapati has shown. Men, human beings, can walk like gods in the presence of the Supreme. But then there's the warning. Without wisdom, power is like a wind. It can rush about and make great disturbances, breathe upon the heights, kiss the sky, but it can't build. It can't build the extreme, eternal things. For that, wisdom is needed. And to each of them, she makes a promise. To this Madonna, she says, you have given men strength. You were not able to give wisdom. I'm going to fulfill my mission, and when I've done it, I will return. I will bring light. I will bring the light of truth. And then I will give you, she says, the mirror of God. And you will be able to see yourself and the world in the way that God sees them. You will see them all reflected in the bright pool of thy soul. A pool is like a mirror, a still pool reflecting the world and self as God sees them. Then your wisdom will be as vast as your power. And then there will no more be any hate in human hearts. No more fear and weakness. There won't be any more cry of the ego. That will be silenced. At the moment, it's like a lion roaring, claiming the world as food. Instead, everything shall be might, power. There will be the power to do whatever needs to be done. There will be bliss and happy force. Not this tortured force that he is expressing. What was the previous promise? Love shall be, it's the bottom of page 507. Love shall be the bond of humankind. Compassion, the bright key of nature's acts. Misery shall pass, abolished from the earth. The world shall be freed from the anger of the beast, that angry beast who is in the lower levels of nature. It will be freed from the cruelty of the Titan and his pain. There shall be peace and joy forevermore. The rule of love.
I'm sort of trying to orient myself to where we're at. So Savitri heard the voice, the warped echo heard. So the warped echo is the voice that we've just heard speaking of the Rajasic egotistical man.
Yes.
And then turning to her being of power. So her being of power is within her?
It's this Madonna that we read about last week. These triple soul forces are forces of Savitri's soul, forces of all soul. But on her journey to find her soul, she's seeing them projected as beings, Madonnas. There are three. There's the Madonna of compassion. We just read about the Madonna of strength. And now we're going to read about the Madonna of wisdom. So there are three complementary soul forces, ways in which the soul expresses itself in the world. She's making a promise to those powers, to those forces, that when my mission is fulfilled, you won't have to contend with this rebellion and resistance from the lower forces of nature. Each of those Madonnas has expressed her limitations, said, God gave me love, but not his force. And because of that, there's this other fellow growling down below here. And here, there's also limitations to the possibilities of this Madonna of might. Despite all the great things that she can do, she says, human beings don't listen to me. No? Where is the line? I know the goal, I know the secret power, but the great obstinate world resists my word. So what he's showing is that at the moment these powers of the soul are they are very, very great and powerful, but they are limited. They need the collaboration, and that is not there. There's a terrible resistance lodged in the depths which has to be overcome. And that is precisely Savitri's mission. That's what she's come to do. Yeah. So Mila, you would read?
Seeking into a high and happy space, a white tower of wisdom, of vision, whence all could be seen, and all was centered in a single view, as when by distance separates a scene no one, and harmony is made of hues and warmth. The wind was still and fragrance packed the air. There was a carol of birds and murmur of bees, and all that is common and natural and sweet, yet intimately divine to her heart and soul. A nearness thrilled of the spirit to its source, and deepest things seemed obvious, close, and true. Here, living center of that vision of peace, a woman sat in clear and crystal light. Heaven had unveiled its luster in her eyes. Her feet were moonbeams. Her face was a bright sun. Her smile could persuade a dead, lacerated heart to live again and feel the hands of power.
Thank you. So it's as if Savitri is on a pilgrimage throughout this whole canto. She's been on a pilgrimage to find her soul, you know? And now this last stage, she has to climb a mountain. At the bottom, she met the Madonna of Pity. Further up, there's the Madonna of Might. Now she has to go further on this upward route of her spirit. And it's like when you move upwards into the mountains, the air becomes so clear and fresh. She comes into a high and happy space, and it's as if she can see everything from there. There's a very, very vast view, and colors that might be clashing if you saw them up close, they're all harmonized by distance. And the atmosphere is lovely. A still air filled with fragrance, birds, bees, everything that's common and natural and sweet. And if we just experience it deeply enough, it is intimately divine to heart and soul. And she feels the thrill of a kind of nearness, the spirit coming close to its source. And in that atmosphere, deepest things seemed obvious, close, and true. And sitting there is this beautiful vision, a woman sat in clear and crystal light. There's a wonderful heavenly light in her eyes. Her feet glow like moonbeams, pale golden, and her face shines much more brightly, like a sun. But it's also very sweet. That smile of hers could heal even a heart that's been so badly wounded that it's dead, that it could come back to life and live again and feel the healing hands of calm. So this is a vision of peace.
From the other two, who was in the earth, was in the mud, the other one was on the stone.
A stone, yes. Mm. Here he doesn't say where her feet are, but they're glowing and golden. Mm. Yes, of course, these are symbolic landscapes that Savitri is seeing. So in the very center of this vision of peace, the Madonna, the principle of that stage is seen. Yes. And now she's going to speak to Savitri. Yes.
Aspects of the mother, the four aspects of the mother.
Yes.
Louder.
The four aspects of the mother, and these three forces. Is there any?
I cannot really see any correlation.
Okay.
In the previous one, the Mother of Might, she said that, I am Durga. I am Lakshmi. When I kill, I'm Kali. So that seems like a certain level of the mother's power. And now, of course, yes, I don't think we can make this exact correlation. Here, now, of course, we're coming to wisdom, which is a characteristic of Maheshwari.
Yes.
But here Sri Aurobindo is dividing it separately. And that is why I thought this is not connected so much with these four aspects of the mother. I mentioned last time that I think, this is my personal interpretation, that these are soul powers. So they correspond to the gunas. In the manifestation of soul and spirit, there are these three modes or qualities. Here in the world, we experience them as tamas and rajas and sattva. Yes. So these echoes, they have something of those qualities. Whereas the Madonnas, they represent the pure divine essence. And Sri Aurobindo's described that somewhere, that it doesn't have the limitations and imperfections of the gunas as they are manifested here. Yes?
But also, Mother said in Ajanda, Mother, the Divine Mother is the aspect of Durga. He protects some man when he surrenders to Mother Express.
Yes, that's quite clear,
yeah.
That the Supreme Divine Mother has all these aspects. And here it's not so much speaking about the Supreme Mother, this is speaking about the action of the soul in the world. There are these goddesses, Madonnas, Well, I mean, others may contest that. It's just my personal way of understanding this canto. So who's next? It's okay, yeah. Marianne, yes.
And no music heard became a floating voice. O Savitri, I am that secret soul. I have come down to the wounded, desolate earth to heal her pangs and lull her heart to rest and lay her head upon the mother's lap, that she may dream of God and know his peace, and draw the harmony of higher spheres into the rhythm of earth's good, troubled days. I show to her the figures of bright gods, and bring strength and solace to her struggling life. High things that now are only words and forms are living to her in the body of their power.
Thank you. We'll pause there. So this is the Madonna of Wisdom, and this is her expression of how she understands her mission. Oh, gosh. A herd of goats. Anyway, we will ignore them for now. Yeah, somebody's already chasing them. Yeah. So she's come down to this wounded earth, this desolate earth that feels so helpless and sad, no? To heal her pangs. She brings light and peace that can heal the pains and bring rest, lull her heart to rest. Lulling is what you do with a baby, no? When he's crying. Lull her heart to rest and lay her head. This is earth, no? Upon the mother's lap. So that she can dream of God and know his peace. And if she does that, if she dreams of God and knows his peace, she can draw the harmony of higher spheres into the rhythm of earth's rude, troubled days. That's what we need more than anything, is the spreading of those different vibrations from higher spheres to bring harmony and peace and wisdom here on earth. So she says that I'm the light. I can show the figures of bright gods, of bright cosmic powers, no? And I can bring strength and solace, comfort to the struggling life of earth. And I can reveal high things that now are only words and forms. We may have high words like human unity, peace on earth. They need to become much more than words and forms. High things that now are only words and forms, I reveal to her in the body of their power, in a real, living, powerful form. Wisdom can do that for us. Rosa?
I increase that steals into immense warm breast amid the rain of hell his heart's strip. Postal where heaven messenger can watch. I am charity with the family and I acknowledge the Guru, the one who caused me to marry, and the animals of the human heart, where God and evil are close, bad fellows, and light is my darkness. At every step, where his largest knowledge is an ignorance, I am the power of what labors towards the best.
I am peace that steals into man's war-worn breast. The rain of hell his acts create. That's what our human actions do in the world. They create a rain of hell, of suffering and falsehood. But that power of light, she brings peace. She says she is a hostel, a safe place where heaven's messengers can lodge. I am charity. Charity is not a very fashionable virtue these days, no? But I think what it really means is unselfish love and compassion, on generosity. I am charity. If you are charitable, it doesn't necessarily just meaning giving money to beggars. It means not being unkind and severe in your judgments, being generous and compassionate. Charity with the kindly hands that bless. I am silence mid the noisy tramp of life. All that noise, how wonderful it is to go into the chamber and experience some silence, powerful silence. And I am knowledge, and Sri Aurobindo puts a capital K here, pouring on her cosmic map. To pour means to look closely, to look in detail. So there's that map of the universe. The power of knowledge looks, reads closely in that map. In the human heart, there are many anomalies, movements and urges, impulses that obey opposite rules, different laws. Anomalies. So they seem incompatible. There seem to be incompatible tendencies in the human heart, because good and evil are close bedfellows there. They're connected, they can't be separated. And light and darkness. Well, there may be light, but it's dogged at every step, as if behind him there's its faithful dog, his shadow of darkness. And even humanity's largest knowledge is still an ignorance. I, the light of heavenly wisdom, am the power that labors towards the best and works for God and looks up towards the heights. Franz, you would read.
I make even sin and error stepping stones, and all experience a long march toward life. Out of the inconscient, I build consciousness, and lead to death to reach immortal life. Many are God's forms by which he grows in man. They stamp his thoughts and deeds with divinity, uplift the stature of the human clay, was slowly transmuted into heaven's gold. He is a good for which men fight and die. He is a war of right, his type. He is freedom, rising deathless from the fire. He is a veiler, guarding still the desperate path, alone and erect on the shattered battlefield, or the sentinel in the dangerous echoing night. He is the crown of the martyr burnt in flame, and the great resignation of the saint, and courage indifferent to the bounds of time, and the hero's might wrestling with death and fate. He is wisdom incarnate on a glorious throne, and the calm autocracy of the sage's rule. He is a high and solitary thought, aloof above the ignorant multitude. He is a prophet's voice, the sight of the seer. He is beauty, nectar of the passionate soul. He is the truth by which the spirit lives. He is the riches of the spiritual vast, poured out in healing streams on indigent life. He is eternity, learned from hour to hour. He is the infinity in a little space. He is the immortality in the arms of death. These powers I am, and at my call they come. Thus slowly I lift man's soul nearer the light.
Thank you. So there's a power that makes even sin and error stepping stones. And turns. Maybe you don't even learn very well, but something, all experience is part of this long march of humanity towards the light. There's this power which is building consciousness, driving evolution forward, spreading more and more consciousness. And this same power leads us through death to reach immortal life. And then the Madonna says that God takes so many different forms to grow in man, to grow in humanity. These different forms put the mark, the stamp of divinity on the thoughts and actions of human beings. And those ideals or aims or bright lights, they uplift the stature of the human clay. We are made of matter, but these other forces, they make this little clay troll, Sri Aurobindo says somewhere, grow into the stature of a god who's maybe not made of clay anymore, who's made of light. The human clay might get uplifted by some great ideal, or it may be only slowly transmuted, changed into the pure gold of heaven. And then she gives a long list. We didn't read them all, but they're worth looking at. God. Yes, Don.
Who is he?
This is God. Many are God's forms. So the divine takes these different forms to uplift us and help us on our journey. For example, if we see something good that is really worth fighting and dying for, that helps to bring divinity to us, helps us to grow towards our full stature. Or if we feel we have to somehow oppose, tighten wrong, this dreadful falsehood and selfishness and injustice. Those who are fighting for the right against Titan wrong, they too get uplifted and transmuted. One such great ideal is freedom, which he says, freedom rising deathless from her pyre. The pyre is the funeral fire. So there seem to be occasions, terrible occasions, when freedom is destroyed completely. But freedom can't really be destroyed. That urge for freedom will always come back and back and back. Or valor. Valor is courage, steadfast courage, guarding still the desperate pass. Sri Aurobindo's written a poem about a Marathi hero, Baji Prabhu, who just with a very few soldiers managed to defend the pass just long enough for reinforcements to come. So there are stories like that in history of valiant men who were ready to sacrifice everything to keep the enemy at bay, to save their homeland or their ideal or whatever it was. Valor also stands all alone, straight up on the barricade. Makes you think of the uprisings in the 19th century, where there was fighting, for instance, in the streets of Paris, or a sentinel, a guard watching in the dangerous, echoing night, standing alone on watch, not knowing what will come. God is the crown of the martyr, burned in flame. So many have died for their beliefs. But there is a divine reward for that. And similarly, the glad resignation of the saint. We had this word resignation earlier in the canto, the first Madonna. It means acceptance. Things may be looking terrible, that they should not be like that. But if we have enough faith in God's providence and protection and wisdom, we can accept even the most terrible things with glad resignation. And the kind of courage that is indifferent to the wounds of time. It doesn't matter how long this struggle goes on, still we have to go on. The hero's might, wrestling with death and fate. All these are aspects of the divine through which we get helped in our human journey. And another form is wisdom. And sometimes we have heard of beings who seem to be wisdom incarnate, like the great King Solomon. There have been great beings who incarnated wisdom and were able to rule the calm autocracy of the sages' rule. Sometimes sages have been called on to rule alone as sole rulers. They were not despots or tridents, the tyrants. They were ruling on behalf of the divine in wisdom. Or it may be somebody who is in, or this may be an aspect of somebody who's not in the public eye at all, who's just devoting himself to this high and solitary thought, envisaging the needs of the future, aloof, high up, away from the ignorant multitude. It's God. When the prophet speaks, it is the Lord. When the seer sees, that power of vision is also an aspect of the Lord to help humanity to progress. And the list continues. We can go on. Audrey, you read. We're on page 516. Yes, oh yes, higher up. He is beauty, 472. Line 472. Oh, we went to there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. But we haven't talked about beauty and these things, or I haven't. Yes, is it okay? Everything's clear to everybody.
But the beauty is a nectar of passionate soul.
Yes, keep the beauty, the delight which keeps the soul immortal.
There's a character associated with every he, and thus marked with a capital letter.
Yes, this is God. He's referring to all the many forms of God.
Like the words good, right, freedom, valor.
Yes.
In the next page, it's time, wisdom, thought. But there's a word night. How does it relate?
There he's talking about valor and what valor does. Valor guards the desperate pass that can't be controlled. No, he goes on fighting. Or he stands on the lone and shattered barricade. Or he acts as a guardian in the dangerous, echoing night. It's also a very courageous thing to do. And when Sri Aurobindo puts night like that, it doesn't just mean the physical night. It means the night of falsehood and evil and psychological night. And now there's beauty, truth, eternity, infinity, immortality. So she says, I'm all these powers and they come when I call them. And this is the way in which I slowly lift man's soul nearer to the light. Through all these powers. Sorry, yes, go ahead, Audrey.
The human mind clings to its ignorance and to its littleness in human heart and to its right to grief the earthly life. Only when eternity takes time by the hand, only when infinity wears the infinite finite soul, can man be free from himself and live with God. I bring meanwhile the gods upon the earth. I bring back hope to the despairing heart. I give peace to the humble and the great, and shed my grace on the foolish and the wise. I shall save earth, if earth consents to be saved. Then love shall at last unwounded tread earth's soil. Man's mind shall admit the sovereignty of truth, and body bear the immense descent of God.
Thank you. Anything to ask?
I love so much the three lines. Only when the eternity takes time by hand, only when the infinity waits the finite door, can man be free from himself and live with God.
Yes, very special lines.
Reading this backwards gives one a certain insight. Do you understand that?
Yes.
It's like taking a picture and turning it upside
down. Yes. So you mean sentence by sentence? You read the last sentence first and then the next.
Up and up. Okay. Yeah. I think it's interesting that this line, I bring me my the works upon the earth. That is, you said, you have to do efforts, we are not finished.
So I think that's a good place to stop for today. Next week we will read The Warped Echo and Savitri's Promise. We'll hear Mother reading. She reads three passages, no? Last three passages. The vision, and then the echo, and then Savitri's answer. You want the numbers? It's 8, 9, and 10. First one begins ascending still.
Yes.
And then the second one, she spoke, and from the ignorant nether plane. And then, and Savitri heard the voice.
His hunger for the eternal thoumasness and bring God down into his body and life. One day